You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks. You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, brought to you by the generosity of Hutton Broadcasting. New Mexico Filmworks is a program of New Mexico State Film Office, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. Later in the show, we'll be talking to Don Gray about film tourism, and also have John Armijo. But first, we have Mark Vasconcelos. He has spent his high school years in Madrid, Spain. I keep wanting to say Madrid. he acquired a BA from film and TV production from San Jose State University. In the early 90s, Mark was in Los Angeles pursuing an acting career and work as a videographer. Mark started his first directorial debut, making the award-winning short film Paco's Two Bean Double Frozen Margarita in 2000. And I love that title, too. In 2007, Mark relocated to southern New Mexico, where he landed a reoccurring role on CW's Easy Money, and also has been in the hit TV series In Plain Sight, and he's currently teaching at Donna Ana Community College, where his students have won two statewide video competitions. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good. In your bio, you have done mentioned a lot of traveling as well. So maybe you could give us a little background on that.
My dad was big on travel, and he landed a few jobs overseas and took the family with. So that was always great. And so in high school, it was like summer vacation was putting on the backpacks, getting the Eurail pass, and going off. And it just kind of, you know, sunk in. I had to go on adventures. And then after college, I kind of bolted back to Europe and lived in Italy and France and North Africa for a while. And that was great because I got to work as an ENG camera operator, and I did some segment directing for French and Italian television. So
were those travel shows that you were doing?
We did everything. We did travel shows, documentaries, a lot of motorsports since the Italians are into motorsports, travelogue, you name it, we pretty much did it.
So I imagine that influenced, you also did a program here in New Mexico called Enchantments that you created and wrote and produced and directed and probably watched too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I first knew that I was moving to New Mexico, my wife is from Las Cruces and she had been in the music industry for about 25 years in LA and she got kind of burnt out. And we had just had two young kids, and she's like, I want to move back to New Mexico and be around the family. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So I came up with the idea of Enchantments, and it was kind of a cool travelogue show. Me and a buddy just went around New Mexico shooting all the great festivals, and we shoot some episodes every now and then, but the first 13 have done double runs all over El Paso, New Mexico, Eastern Nevada. And hopefully we'll get 26 in the can, and who knows, maybe send them out worldwide somewhere.
Terrific. I have watched a couple of episodes and really enjoy it. With your travel background, you also mentioned that you gained an appreciation for different cultures. Mm-hmm. What effect has that had on your TV and film production, and also your acting, if any?
A huge effect. You know, it's like, yeah, some societies are just so closed off, you know, they never even, you know, reach out beyond their own borders, and then some people never even travel out of their own country. So just to be able to travel to other countries and try different foods, different cultures, and really get, you know, immersed in them. You know, I wasn't there as a tourist. I lived in these countries, and while I was working overseas as the camera operator and director, I went around the world several times, and it was great because it really opens your eyes to what other people are doing. And, you know, you see the good, you see the bad, you see the ugly, so it really broadens your respect for what we have in the United States. And like when I came to New Mexico, I'm definitely, let's go out and explore.
Yeah, right.
And so it definitely led into doing more production work. And it's great because you can apply it to your acting too, you know. You get to do different characters, different backgrounds, and it gives you a different insight as to how these people live and what they do. So travel's the best. I love it.
Yeah, more to draw from. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar? There's a, and I forgot the guy's name, but he does a virtual dinner guest. And it's like a Skype deal that he does, has dinner with people like around the world. They've done Cairo and South America.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And so, yeah, they just sit down there in Brazil, and he's here in Santa Fe, and they have Skype, and they have a meal in front of them, and they can just talk, you know, like you're having dinner together, but it's, you know, long distance.
Right. That's the great thing about the modern technology. You know, we're all so connected, right, through a computer screen.
Yeah.
You know, but still, we got to keep the personal thing alive, you know. Be adventurous, go out and travel, meet other people, do other things, try other cultures, you know. I mean, there's so much out there being offered around the world, you know, and you can get a taste of it through your computer, but until you experience firsthand how these people live and what they eat and what they do, that's really the educational part.
Yeah, having that one-on-one contact. I managed a hostel for a number of years, and half of the guests were foreign, and it was just a treat to, you know, be able to hear about their culture and,
yeah,
and what they were doing. It's not the same as going to their country, but, you know, it's still a little bit of insight.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So how was it? Was it your wife that brought you to Las Cruces?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, she was kind of burnt out on L.A. and all the traffic and all the people, and so she wanted to slow things down a bit and get the kids connected with their cousins here. And so it's been a great thing. You know, there's so much to see and do in New Mexico, but lots of times you just got to get outside your city and go do it, you know.
Right, yeah. And at what point did you get involved with the university?
Oh, that was interesting, because I was actually up in Albuquerque shooting one of my episodes for Enchantments, and I got a phone call from Doña Ana Community College, and they say, "We hear you're living in Las Cruces now, and you're a filmmaker. We were wondering if you might be interested in teaching some classes." And I had never even thought about teaching film school. And I'm like, "How did you get my number?" And it was like through the family friend, and someone talked to somebody. And so I guess in the latter part of 2007, I started teaching a couple of film school classes, and then they liked what I did, and the students liked it, and I liked it. And so now I'm tied in with Doña Ana Community College, CMT program, and we work with NMSU's CMI program too, so it's a nice fit.
And CMT is the Creative Media Technology courses, mm-hmm, or program.
Yes.
And the CMI is the Creative Media
Institute
at the State University, right?
Yeah, and they're both really great programs. Both are award-winning programs, and it's great when we get to collaborate together on things. You know, they kind of focus on above the line stuff,
right,
where the community college focuses on below the line, and it's a great fit when we get to work together on projects.
Yeah, that's terrific. So there's not really any duplication of the course material on people.
Well, you're going to get a little bit.
Sure.
You know, maybe a writing class, you know, some technical stuff. But most of the time, you know, our stuff transfers over to them, and we even have some of their students coming over to work with us or take classes on our side. So it works out great.
So the credits from the community college carry over to the university?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Most of the time there shouldn't be much of a problem. You know, sometimes they ask, well, you know, you're coming into a new film school, you may have to take this to see if we can, you know, get you fit in. So, you know, there's a little bit of that, but we try to work together and get our students to go to long-term education and get them out with a BA as opposed to just a certificate or a associate's degree.
Sure, sure. And the technical part is this an official FTTP program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have the Film Technicians Training Program, which was created by our last governor,
right,
and it was basically set forth so the community colleges could teach below-the-line technical skills of filmmaking and produce great crews, and then the universities would produce the writers, producers, directors, et cetera, but we overlap both ways, so it kind of works out great.
Right. My understanding, when they decided they were going to make a concerted effort to bring more movies here, The thought is, well, we should have our own crew being able to create jobs and work on the movies. So the universities or the community colleges need to provide that training.
Exactly. And it's great because we have a workforce of students that are ready to go. You know, most of the time they jump in as production assistants, which is where you got to kind of jump in. But they're trained on certain aspects of grip, lighting, production techniques, and stuff like that. So they pretty much know their stuff, and then they can raise in the ranks pretty quickly if they get on a professional shoot, which is great.
Right, and hopefully there'll be more opportunities for them to do that.
Oh, yeah, we're working on it.
Right. In just a minute or so, you guys have done a lot just in the last year with Film Las Cruces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great organization.
And this is an opportunity for people who are making shorts and movies in the area to have them shown and to network and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. We meet once a month at the Rio Grande Theater. And anybody who wants to get into film can come down and check us out. And we have the whole range of filmmakers, high-end professionals all the way to high school novices. So it works out really nice, and we all help each other.
And you show the films where?
The Rio Grande Theater, uh-huh. Which is where the Doña Ana Arts Council is housed, and that's a downtown mall, Main Street, Las Cruces. And it's a great venue. It's a historic venue, and they let us have the place for free. It's kind of a donation thing, and we help raise money for them. We put out, you know, a box to raise money for us and them. So it's a nice thing for everybody. And sure. We do presentations, we do screenings, we do talks, demonstrations, all kinds of stuff. So it's great.
Terrific. Mark, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back. Back, and you're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. My guest is Mark Vasconcelos, and we're talking about some of the programs that they're running down at Doña Ana Community College. So, Mark, how many students do you have?
Oh, God, a couple hundred.
Yeah.
We're not just digital filmmakers. We pretty much run the whole gamut of digital imaging. You know, so we have filmmaking, animation, graphic design, web design, photography, pretty much you name it, and we've got classes for it.
Right. And you mentioned you hadn't taught before, but you're liking it. What are you getting out of teaching?
It's great when you see, you know, the light bulb go on in the student's mind.
And the aha effect.
Yeah, they get it. You know, there's something that they have never seen or heard before.
Right.
And it's great. I get filmmakers from everywhere. You know, I get them from high school because we have a dual credit program. I get students out of El Paso and, of course, Las Cruces and surrounding areas. And, you know, they're beginning most of the time, and there's certain basic things that they may have not been exposed to. Let's just say the 180-degree line of filmmaking, you know, when you don't cross your axis, and a lot of them haven't seen that. You know, so I explain it to them in year one, you know, video production one,
right.
And then it clicks, and then you can see it happen when they go out and shoot. So this is the kind of thing that just kind of turns me on. Plus the fact that a lot of them are teaching me about things because these kids are so up on computers and programs and software. You know, it's a different world from when I went to film school.
Yeah,
we actually shot on some film, but we also had 2-inch videotape. Did
right.
I just date myself?
Yeah. It's okay. We're all in the same boat here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of cool when you see the payoff. And we, for example, we had a video production 2 class and a master class working together on some films. And 2 films just came out really spectacular. And one was produced by a guy student, and another one was produced by a couple girls. And both of them were fantastic, and they were fun, and they had a message, you know. And So it's really cool when you see that payoff after a couple semesters. So that's what really gets me going about teaching.
That's wonderful. And were those two videos the winners of the competitions?
I don't know exactly where they placed in their competitions. Mm-hmm. My colleague Lamaya Vaughn was running all that, but I was just proud to see them up on the big screen at the Rio Grande Theater at Film Las Cruces night, and they made an impact on the audience. So it's kind of the proof that the teaching skills are working.
Kind of validation, right?
It's like, yeah, okay, I'm doing okay as a teacher.
right, exactly.
And we've won a couple of awards. We've been in some statewide contests, and they were PSAs, and one was an anti-teen pregnancy prevention video, and we placed first.
Excellent.
So that was really wonderful.
And you mentioned the dual credit program. So there are, three high schools in the area that you work with?
Yes, three, maybe even four, because I think there's a fourth one coming soon. But yeah, I believe juniors and seniors can take a free class over at the community college, and they get the college experience while they're a junior or senior. They got to keep their grades up, obviously, and they got to show up to class. But it's a great way to get them involved in college before they've even graduated high school.
And do you know if those high schools have their own film programs?
Some of them have small media programs. A lot of them focus on, you know, their local in-house sports. So the kids get out there and videotape all the sports games and they report on them and stuff like that. So it's a great springboard into college and then hopefully get them into the university. So it works out really well.
It's my understanding that kids that enroll in film programs at the high school level or even earlier really stick with it and go on. I mean, once they they're kind of hooked and they continue on, and the dropout rate for kids in film programs is a lot less than the statewide average.
True. And what's great about it is that even though they're digital filmmakers, there's so many different areas within digital filmmaking or digital imagery itself. You know, they can start off as a director and they say, no, I'd rather produce, or no, I'd rather be a camera operator, or no, I'd rather make websites. You know, so it's all kind of tied in. So we're all working together on stuff, and it works out really cool.
That's so great. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things you're going to be doing this summer, you have this Creative Media Technology 266 class taking the students over to Roswell.
Yeah, we've got a couple projects lined up. This is the Summer One FTTP summer experience. So basically they have a couple semesters in training where they find their craft area where they like. Mm-hmm. And then the summer session, we put them on real shoots. You know, and so we'll be shooting a short film, we'll be shooting a DACC enrollment commercial, and then we get to go up to Roswell and join the crew up there and produce five short movies for the Sci-Fi Film Festival, which is just a fantastic experience.
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit about the how that Sci-Fi Festival is arranged with the script? There's a script contest first.
Yes, they have a script contest, so people have been sending in scripts. I think they'll pick five scripts in the end to be produced, and there's filmmaker students that come from all over New Mexico, Albuquerque, Portales, Las Cruces, Roswell itself, and then we split everybody up. We split all our equipment up amongst the five films that are going to be produced. They have 4 days to shoot them, and I believe 2 days to post them, and then Saturday, June 23rd, is the big gala night where they show the movies and they're voted on, and it's a great little film festival.
That was, I had the pleasure of attending last year just for the film part. I didn't get to see any of the shooting, but, and you were the MC and did an excellent job, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. It was a good group.
Yeah, and all the, there was a bunch of Star Wars folks dressed up in costume, and everybody was having a great time. And I thought the movies were wonderful. The whole concept is just, I think, really great, getting involvement from kind of all aspects of the movie-making process and for so many people to be able to get involved in it.
Oh, yeah, and those filmmakers were put to the test. I mean, it was a grueling 4 days of filmmaking, and some people are just, you know, they're pushed to the limits. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do that for the art and the business. And they really produced 5 great films. All of them were really good. And but, you know, obviously someone had to win certain prizes, and it turned out just great.
Yeah, you got to make those sacrifices
for
the art.
They did. You know, there's some whining and, oh, I'm really tired. But you know what? These kids, they jumped in there. They hung in there. We all worked together as teams. And in the end, it came out with 5 great films.
Well, and it gives them a taste of what real life in the movie industry is going to be, right?
Yeah, I remember my first feature film. It was like, I was a production assistant out in California, and whew, we got our butts kicked.
Right. All right, Mark, I really appreciate, we got to go, but I really appreciate you being with us today on the radio show, and good luck down there in Las Cruces.
Great.
Hope to see you. We're going to be having the Educational Summit in September, bringing all the universities in the state together.
Oh, I'll be there.
Terrific. Look forward to seeing you again.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. You guys take care.
This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be back in just a minute with Don Gray. We're back, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. And just a reminder for all the New Mexicans out there working in film industry and support services, you can sign up for free on our crew directory. Go to nmfilm.com, click on the crew directory button, and you can register yourself, get yourself known out there. And now we have Don Gray on the phone. Don was just recently at the Governor's Conference on Tourism up in Taos, and we're talking a little bit about film tourism. Don, welcome.
Thanks, Dirk.
So tell us a little bit about the experience up there, and let's talk about film tourism.
It was great. You know, it was a very well-attended conference. People from all over the state, some of the faces I recognized, even a few film liaisons from mm-hmm. various areas, and then a bunch of new faces as well.
Terrific. And so the conference is about tourism, but you were talking specifically first about how a community can be film friendly, but more particularly about the kind of the new aspect of film tourism that's kind of a buzzword lately.
Right. So I was asked to talk about, the title of my talk was film, how to make your community film friendly and attract film productions to the area. So one of the things I wanted to do while I was there and while we were all sort of talking about tourism was to sort of provoke more discussion about the possibilities of film tourism. You know, sometimes when a film comes to town, I mean, everybody, we talk all the time about the impact of a film coming to town while they're there shooting and the money spent in the area and the economic impact and that sort of thing. But in my mind, there's a residual left behind in New Mexico every time a film is made, and that's the idea that you could actually take that film and use it as a way to leverage people's decision about where they want to go for a vacation or where they want to spend their leisure time. And this is something that, you know, has occurred in lots of areas of the world. One of the examples I gave was New Zealand. I was in New Zealand a couple of years ago, and Lord of the Rings was everywhere in New Zealand. And reading a little bit more about it, I discovered that that's because New Zealand wanted you to know that Lord of the Rings was made in New Zealand and wanted to use that as a way to get you to come and experience New Zealand as a tourist destination. Interestingly enough, after they had done their ad campaign, their tourism campaign, they started polling people coming through the airport, and they discovered that 85% of the tourists knew that Lord of the Rings had been filmed in New Zealand. And I thought that was pretty amazing, because when you think about it, oftentimes people are not at all aware of where films are made,
right.
And let alone a place like New Zealand, which is a little bit obscure in most people's minds. So they really made this concerted effort to link the two, and I think we should be doing more of that in New Mexico.
Yeah, I really agree. So when you gave this presentation, how was it received? What kind of feedback did you get from people? Was it like a totally new concept for them, or were people saying, yeah, we've been trying this and that and the other thing?
Well, I think it was a mix. You know, it's interesting enough that somebody from Taos told me that they had some movie links on their website, which is great. That's where we get this sort of started. Some people, you know, were absolutely on board with the idea and interested in exploiting it. And I think probably plenty more, too, hadn't really ever occurred to them. You know, when you think of New Mexico's film history, all the way back to 1898, 630 television, film, and documentary projects over that period of time. But when you think about New Mexico tourism, you don't really think a whole lot about film tourism. So I think there's a lot of work to be done on all of our part. One of the really exciting things I think about film tourism is that once you get that ball rolling, once people start coming here and being interested in engaging, it opens up all kinds of local community-based entrepreneurial opportunities, people that can sort of make little business opportunities based on film tourism. And so it opens up new economic development in the communities across the state.
Yeah, you had mentioned at one point a particular sandwich.
Yeah, that was part of the, you know, the Shawshank Redemption was shot in Mansfield, Ohio, and Mansfield, Ohio, and the county that the Mansfield is in, they got together and they started this thing they call the Shawshank Trail, and it's very simple. It's a website you can go to, and it has a little map of the locations where the Shawshank Redemption was shot, and you can take tours of some of those locations, and then just be sort of generally enjoyed what Mansfield had to offer, and lots of little things started to spring up around town. You know, the local Comfort Inn offers a special Shawshank Trail rate and a $10 gift card, gas card. You know, a local lady makes bundt cake shaped like the prison in Shawshank Redemption. And then my favorite is the guy that you were just alluding to, which is a guy who owns a cafe downtown, and he actually has something he calls the Shawshank Witch, which is a sandwich that's you know, part of the Shawshank Trail. You can go in there and have a sandwich. So those are the kind of little fun, enjoyable things. You know, the really great thing about film tourism is that what you provide the tourist once they get here in terms of film engagement is relatively modest. You can do things like the Shawshank, which you don't have to have the Shawshank Redemption amusement park. You don't have to invest in infrastructure like that. A little trail, a little tour map, a little bit of touring, and then really tourists just want to have an enjoyable vacation. So if you start offering some film linkage to Taos, for example, we already know that people go to Taos and enjoy what Taos has to offer.
Right.
And there are states, there are communities all across the state of New Mexico who already offer quality tourism situations. We're just using this as a lever, as a decision lever, to get people to come here. So, you know, are you going to go to Arizona or Colorado or New Mexico? Oh, wait, my favorite film, you know, The Avengers, which just hit $1 billion of ticket sales worldwide last week.
Right.
That's your kid's favorite film, which was shot in New Mexico. Well, let's go to New Mexico.
Yeah, and once we get them here, they're going to stay at the hotels and eat at the restaurants, and they're going to look around. And if they're aware of the various films that have been made, they may decide to go to one particular place rather than another because of that very fact that the movie was made in that location.
Right. It just gives them some kind of emotional connection. I mean, we all love movies and television. We all want to engage with that world in some kind of way. And like I say, we have incredible inventory already. We continue to add to that inventory, and we want to continue to add. So as I go around the state and I try to talk to communities about, you know, why they should put up with a film shooting in their town and their streets being closed for 2 or 3 days during a week or something like that, this is something that I feel like I can point to. It's not just the money that's spent by the film company when they come and shoot the film, which is often significant, and I'm not downplaying that. But what I want to add to the discussion is this idea that there's this residual sort of economic development left behind once they've gone that communities can exploit on and should exploit on their own.
Right, and you see the film office role is kind of planting the seed in the community's mind and then letting the communities kind of develop it on their own.
Exactly. In fact, what I said to somebody, I think it was somebody in Gallup at one point, they said, look, we're going to send them to you. What you do with them when they get here, that's up to you to deliver, as is any kind of visitor or tourist situation. And that's really the beauty of this, is I think it sort of grows like a little bacteria and kind of grows out from the initial idea of just pointing people to a community because it has some relationship in their mind to a favorite television or movie program. Then once on the ground, locally, the community can offer whatever they want to offer, from very modest to quite elaborate. My favorite example of tourism with film is Wamego, Kansas, which is a little town in Kansas which decided that Dorothy from Wizard of Oz had no hometown, and they decided they would become Dorothy's hometown in Kansas. And you walk down the main street of Wamego, Kansas, and there's the Emerald City Market, and there's Toto's Tacos, and even locally there's a Wizard of Oz museum. So you can take it as far, a community can take it as far as they would like to take it. That's really the beauty of it.
Yeah, and oftentimes it just takes that one person to say, hey, we can do this. Let's all get together and then run with that idea.
And these days with, social media and putting up a web page, online presence, that sort of thing, in terms of promotional effort, it's relatively modest as well. So we're not talking about investing in infrastructure, not talking about a huge international campaign. The beauty of film tourism is somebody's already created the international campaign for you. They've already spent millions of dollars for you and for your community. You just need to step in and link in people's mind the idea that this film here, which a lot of people really enjoy, was shot here in our community.
Right, and once one community takes that idea and then another and another, it makes it that much more easy for people to go from one place to another and say, hey, there's a lot of stuff right in this area. We can go to all these little towns.
Exactly, and enjoy what they have. I mean, New Mexico is already a very, very satisfying tourist destination.
Sure.
We already know that. So we're not even really trying to create something that, we're not sure if it exists here or not. We know people will come to New Mexico and enjoy what's here already. This is just another way, another reason to have people make the decision to come.
Right. And Don, I really appreciate you being on this morning and talking about this. And I'm sure we'll be mentioning film tourism in the future and quite a bit, I hope.
More to come.
All right. Thanks a lot, Don.
Thanks, sir.
All right, this is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and we'll be back with John Armijo in just a minute. This is New Mexico Film Works, and we have John Armijo, film historian, on the phone with us, and we're continuing a series on Native American locations, part three. John, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Dirk. Here we go. Yeah, Native American lands have been a location for over 200-plus film and television productions, and part four is next week. Dirk, Santa Clara Pueblo has hosted 22 films and television productions. The first one was the Atomic City way back in 1952. Yikes, I was 8 years old then. Here are a couple of things starting up in television back then. Television's first magazine format program, The Today Show, debuted on NBC with Dave Garraway. Also making its TV debut was a Jackie Gleason show, The Honeymooners. And if you're a hockey fan, Detroit won the Stanley Cup by defeating Montreal 4-0. And oh yeah, in 1952, we were in the throes of the Cold War, and that's what the Atomic City was all about. Contrary to the title, they did not film in Los Alamos. Scenes were shot at the old main gate leading into Los Alamos and at Puyallup Cliffs. The screenplay, written by Cindy Bowe, was nominated for an Academy Award. Another film that shot at Puyallup Cliffs was Tiger Eyes in 2010. Best-selling novelist Judy Blume, who wrote the novel, also wrote the screenplay, and her son, Lawrence Blume, directed the film. Filming took place in Los Alamos and here in Santa Fe at the Santa Fe Indian School, and they filmed in Albuquerque. The following account is just one aspect of the trials and tribulations of the independent filmmaker that I thought you'd find interesting. In 1972, Sandia Pueblo, over in Bernalillo County, was the location for House Made of Dawn. The novel was adapted for the screen by Richardson Morris and N. Scott Momaday from Momaday's 1969 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by the same title. Richardson also produced and directed the film. The film starred Larry Littlebird, a Pueblo Indian, and his co-star was John Saxon, the only Caucasian actor in the film. Before winning the Pulitzer, the property had been shopped around to the major studios, but it was rejected because it was not cinematic. In the tradition of a true independent filmmaker, Richardson liquidated all of his personal assets, including his Price bookstore, his house in Santa Barbara, his art collection, and his stocks, to help finance his project that he had optioned the rights to 2 years before it won the Pulitzer. Also to his credit, not only did he remain true to the novel, but to preserve its integrity, he refused financing from Universal Pictures and from Kirk Douglas's production company because they would not let him direct the film. In 1969, Publishers Weekly said this about Hollywood's interest in the property. Since the Pulitzer, there has been major film interest in a package deal employing the talents of such big-name stars as Marlon Brando or Cliff Robertson. Momaday and Morris are holding firm, however. They want to complete the screenplay first without changing the novel in any substantial way. A star name has its attractions, but so does the idea of having an unknown play the leading role, maybe even an American Indian. Littlebird and Richardson were interviewed by The Hollywood Reporter in 1972. The headline was, Studio Myopia Launches New Independent Movie Venture. The article goes on to say that when Richardson came to Santa Fe to discuss the lead role with Larry, Larry was more interested in interviewing Richardson. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't another Anglo expert on Indians who was just going to screw the Indian again and mess up the film. Larry had run into enough white men who knew everything about the Indians, said Richardson. As a matter of fact, Larry walked out as technical advisor on a 1970 Warner Brothers film because he decided the picture was a phony Redskin opera. The movie was Flap, which we discussed in part one of this series.
Yes.
House Made of Dawn premiered at the 1972 USA Film Festival in Dallas, but never had a theatrical release. In 2005, a newly restored 35mm print was screened here in Santa Fe at the CCA and at the Guild in Albuquerque. And from there, it played in Washington, D.C. and New York City. Okay, Dirk, saddle up. On June 24th, 1949, Hopalong Cassidy became the first network Western television series. What was the name of Hoppy's horse?
Esperanza.
Topper.
I had to come up with a name, John.
I like that. Here's another example of an independent producer following his instinct. In 1948, William Boyd, who played Hopalong, believed that Hopalong Cassidy had a future as a television series. So he mortgaged virtually everything he owned to buy both the character rights and the backlog of the original 66 films he starred in. The series was a gigantic success, and it made Boyd a star and a millionaire. So there you have it, Dirk, three filmmakers who stuck to their vision. You gotta love them.
Gotta love them, John, and thank you for that. And next week we'll be doing part four, is that correct?
Part four.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. So, well, a couple of events coming up. There's a lot of coming up toward the end of May here. And May 18th, which by the time you're hearing this will have passed, but is the deadline for early submissions for the Southwest Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. That festival is going to be on September 28th through October 7th in Albuquerque. You can get more information at closetcinema.org, their website. May 19th at 7 p.m., the 3-Minute Film Festival at the Lensix Theater. And you can get more information at 3mff.com. That's coming up on the 19th. Also on the 19th, at Santa Fe Studios, there's a workshop for the Sony F65 camera. They're going to be demonstrating the use of that and all the bells and whistles on that camera. You can get more information on Fahrenheit444.com. On May 20th, New Mexico Women in Film Documentary Workshop. This will be at the Aldea Community Center, number 3 in Santa Fe. And you can get more information about that at nmwif.com. May 20th, 3 to 6 p.m., there's a workshop, Creating Content for Digital Media, Carolyn Handler Miller. And this is at the Harwood Center in Albuquerque. And you can call 505-321-6806 to get more information there. And the 21st, Monday from 6 to 8, we've got the Santa Fe Community College Film Student Showcase. This will be great. The graduating students or end-of-the-semester projects will be shown. This is going to be at the at the Francis Auditorium in the New Mexico Museum of Art. That's at 107 Palace Avenue in Santa Fe. And you can get more information on sfcc.edu on their website. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. This program is broadcast at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and you can listen to the podcast on santafe.com. Just click on the podcast link and look for New Mexico Film Works. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this has been New Mexico Film Works. Thanks.